Welcome to The Catholic Arsonist.
My ears are bleeding. Stop.
Remember, kicking and screaming. He takes the cup and puts it.
Do you have to adjust your mic from
Joe? No. Okay. We're like the same size. And we bench the same too.
Oh my God. Why did you feel the need to say that?
Because Angie was making fun of me the other day. Oh. Apparently Joe, the eighth graders asked him how much he benches. It was like 315, which is way more than I've ever benched in my life. And then Joe apparently tried to make up for it. He's like, oh, but Father Hour has so much lower body strength. Which I told Angie just means that Joe thinks I have thunder thighs. Which is true.
The scandal is thick today.
Not all of us can have trees for legs.
I always say thick thighs save lives.
Is that what they say?
Who is they?
That's me.
Your microphone sounds funny, Shayna.
Sorry. All right. Welcome back to The Catholic Arsonist.
Yeah,
It's a joy to be having you here sit next to us and ride along with us on this journey. Today we have myself, Alisa, and
Father
Andrew, Father Hour.
Thank you.
Yes.
Happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to be with you all.
Yes, it's amazing.
We wanted a podcast outside, but I think we're just too lazy to move all the equipment.
No, on the walk over here from the school to the Assisi house, I did get a little toasty.
Broke a small sweat.
Broke a little damp, so.
Never again.
No, I'm not sweating, but yeah, I think laziness is probably what took precedence here.
So we're indoors.
It's lovely.
We didn't crack a window, though.
We cracked a window. The kids at recess keep asking me to play, and I said, wait till September, and then here we are.
It's still a billion degrees out.
It's still hot.
No, but the mornings have been very cool, if you've been out in the mornings. Mm-hmm. Feels like fall mornings.
Word.
It actually smells like fall mornings, too, which is...
Mm-hmm. Okay, we got to edit all this out.
Yes. Should we just start over again?
No, keep going.
Just go for it.
Keep going.
We'll figure it out.
All right. So this week's topic, everyone loves it. I think it stirs a fire in all of our hearts, is priorities. And we're going to take a look at maybe what some of our priorities are and how to make sure your priorities are in line. And I'm super excited because this is something that I am still constantly working on, but I feel like everyone kind of needs, as they told my team here, a little kick in the butt to get our priorities back in line. Like we had that whole shutdown and everything, and everybody was home all the time, and they talked about how great it was to realign their priorities. And then I feel like now that life's picked back up, they kind of have forgotten about maybe what they should be focusing on. The most important thing. What's the most important thing, Alyssa?
Jesus Christ. I was like, what answer is she looking for? I think it's this
one. That was the right one. So that's what we're going to talk about on the podcast today.
Can you tell us like where this came from? Because Shayna texted Father Andrew and I randomly and said, I have a podcast topics for 2 weeks out. Mm-hmm. And that never happens to any of us. Yeah. So
which I was grateful for because I thought I was the one who had to come up with the topic. And you just blurted one out. I'm like, okay.
Done. Sure. So I was running with a friend early in the morning, and we were talking about a mom's group that we're in together, and how people sometimes can't make it because things come up and, you know, like things with children and school and everything. And it was in that moment I'm like, why? Like, I'm guilty of it too. There's days that I'd rather just, I'm tired. I'm not going to go.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, why do we do that to ourselves? We have this spiritual gift of like sisterhood that we have planned. And I'm choosing to sit on my couch because I'm tired instead of joining them.
Sure.
And then that just went into like sports and how people pick sports over their marriage. And I'm like, when your kids are gone, you're going to have your husband or your spouse. And if you don't know him and you guys lose touch, that's a reason a lot of people get divorced.
Totally.
Because they don't know who they are anymore because they've been so looking at their kids. Yeah. And so I told my friend, I was like, this is how it should go. It should go. Jesus, marriage, if you have one, and then kids. with some self-care in there as well, because Jesus wants you to take care of yourself and your prayer time and whatnot.
Sure.
And so that's when I was like, this is something we need to talk about. Like, people just need to, I think sometimes you just need to hear it out loud that you need to get your priorities straight to actually let it soak in more.
It's a difficult topic because
it's a very touchy topic.
It's really hard to be, I think it would be hard to be self-righteous and say, listen to me,
yeah,
because I've got it all figured out. So
that's what you said at the beginning.
I'm so... I never said that. But like, I think just to even bring it up, like, it'd be very easy for anyone to say, well, you guys are hypocrites. You don't have it all figured out. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't have it all figured out.
Right. Neither do
I. So, yeah, I think it's a vulnerable place for us to even kind of speak about. Sure. So, but I just think... Yeah, there should be a challenge that's issued, you know, talk about like getting out of alignment, if like of priorities. It's like you have to take your car in every so often to get checked and to get realigned. It's like, normally you need to reassess and to be challenged to make sure you have your priorities straight. So it's like, let's just take an inventory. What are my priorities? And I think oftentimes, even when you begin this conversation, if you bring it up, people think immediately. They know immediately, like, this is the thing that's out of order. Mm-hmm. And then you don't really want to look at it. But I invite you to be courageous and say, like, okay, maybe I do need to take a look and reevaluate what's my priority and be open to make a change.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Go for it.
Think about the beginning of the year. Like, for parents, this is a good time to get that reality check back. Like, you're getting back on a schedule. Like, let's remember, or let's restart, kind of.
I remember the first time, this was like profound to me. One of my friends in college, we were talking about recent confession experiences at that time, and she had brought up that she confessed being selfish with her time. And that was like earth shattering to me. I had never heard of that being sinful, or like someone, it was just so self-reflective. And that led to like a deeper conversation about the ways that I spend my time. And it's true. It's like, time is the thing that we've been given each day. And so there's an opportunity to sanctify our days based on how we fill that time. And that has been a struggle for me for a very long time, because it's, especially as human beings, it's so easy to just do what is, right in front of you and do the thing that makes the most sense right in front of you. And so to actually carve something out or make something a priority rather than just be like sort of enslaved to whatever the schedules that I'm given dictate. I think it's like sort of a delicate thing to sort of maneuver. I second what Father said. Like, I have, I'm no expert on this, but in that same line, I think because we do work for the church and try to put on events for people that lead them into deeper intimacy with Jesus, there is sort of a privileged share, and we see things that are common denominators amongst multiple families or teens or everyday parishioners, you know, as to why they're not here or why we're struggling with certain things. So we're not experts, but we do have like data to look at.
Yeah.
I just say, because like everyone that's listening, if you're at St. Clair, we love you and we want to share Jesus with you, but we can never find that perfect time. So hopefully after some reflection, I'll reflect for myself afterwards also, but putting like Jesus a little bit higher up on that list would be wonderful. So
to frame it to, as I was thinking about it, like the commandment, I guess, that you would put under is, I am the Lord your God. You shall not have any false gods before me. And I think that's where it lives. Like, that's where a talk about priority lives, is underneath that commandment. So it's like, what are the false gods? What are the strange gods that I've placed before the Lord? And then, of course, everybody says, well, like, the Lord's the number one thing in my life. But we don't live that way. And I so often, I'll fall into this a lot too. It's like, no, like, I'm generally a good person. Like, I'm not necessarily doing anything sinful. Because this is the really tricky part of this conversation, is that, like, time with family and friends isn't sinful. Going out drinking isn't sinful. Going to Cardinals games isn't sinful. Going to sports games isn't sinful. Going golfing, it's not sinful. And so, like, these are objectively fine things. But maybe the Lord's calling you deeper and a conversion needs to happen. And, like, we've placed a false god before him that isn't the end-all be-all. He's the end-all be-all. So that's where, like, it does take some sensitivity. Like, you actually need to be listening to where the Lord is if he's calling you deeper. And if you're not listening, you're going to... Well, I think you can shut it off. And this is the other thing, too. I was telling Shana the other day, I keep thinking of Jiminy Cricket in Pinocchio. And Jiminy Cricket's the voice of conscience. And you can flick him away enough that he won't return. In some ways, you can turn your conscience off and really be oblivious to your own, to the end of your own nose, right? Like, you can't even see it anymore. And so, like, when your conscience hits you, it's bad news not to listen to it. It doesn't do you any good to ignore your conscience. It might be satisfactory for a little bit and might allow you to enjoy a little bit of calm and peace in the present moment. But in the end, you're destroying yourself and potentially the relationships that you have with other people. And so maybe people aren't currently listening to that voice of conscience. They're generally good people. But we have to stop and say, all right, something feels amiss here. Something feels a little bit off. What might the Lord be calling me to?
Mm-hmm. There was a really poignant time. I remember this explicitly. I think I was in sixth or seventh grade, and I was going through PSR and things, and I was frustrated by, I was like, yeah, I had become self-aware enough to be frustrated by the fact that I was self-aware. And what I mean by that is, like, I was seeing things happening at school. And I felt like a conscience, like my voice of conscience being like, you should stick up for that person, or you should, like, say, hey, stop saying that, or something like that. But I didn't want to, mm-hmm. because I was going to be the person that stood out then. And so I remember, like, actively making a decision interiorly, that, like, the stuff we were talking about in PSR, this whole, like, higher power thing, the whole God thing, like, a lot of people don't believe in that. And so if I just didn't really adhere to that either, then I was free from feeling bad about all these things. But that never ends up, like, awarding you any good. And so even, like, people listening to this, I'm just thinking, like, you might be thinking, gosh, this is going to be another high call from church people to, like, be a Jesus person. And it's like, I'm good where I'm at, you know, like, my family's, we love each other and we're doing well, you know? But I think we're not, like, at least I don't think Shana's intention with this topic was to just get more people at St. Clair. Like, the whole thing is that, like, the Lord Jesus loves us and he desires, like, to give us eternal life, not just heaven, but, like, the glory of the best possible life here on earth, in union with Jesus. Like, he wants to give us that now, here and now. And he wants to animate, like, every other aspect of our life, not just to be the top on the list. Like, he wants to infiltrate every single thing that happens in our life. And so, yeah, I know how this might sound, I guess, coming from the church people. It's like, yeah, I've been on the other end of this talk. But I think it's crucial to, we're not just trying to get people back to church, yes, but, like, Jesus is in love with you. Mm-hmm. You know, like that's what it has to come back to. And I think we don't consider that when we're thinking about faith things. Mm-hmm. We're just like, how are my kids going to be good people? And how am I going to like fulfill the checkbox and do things? So
mm-hmm. there's the Lord gives us that quote in, I don't know which gospel it is. Whoever gives up father and mother, wife and children and home and land and everything for the sake of my name will receive 100-fold in this life and more in the life to come. Mm-hmm. And I remember like I having to make a decision when I was in college seminary, and I remember like praying with that a ton. I'm like, Lord, and by give up, he doesn't mean leave behind. What he means is to offer it to him, that he would sanctify it, that he would raise those things up. And maybe part of it needs to die, yes, but like that you would really truly offer it to the Lord. And I just remember praying with that and always thinking like, you promised you would give me 100-fold more in this life and more in the life to come. Like you are a God of promises. Like you didn't say that in vain. Like, did you mean what you said? Mm-hmm. And like really putting it to the Lord and trusting that he was going to be, would bring it about. And sure as sin, he did. Yeah.
I met with my Bible study group leaders last night, and we were talking about doing the homework, and you have to make it a priority because that's how you're going to grow. And my co-coordinator came up with this great saying, not really saying, but thought. It's like, if you told your friends you're going to meet them for happy hour, you wouldn't just stand them up, right? And mm-hmm. not show up. And that's like, when you're going into like strengthening your relationship with Jesus, like he's waiting for you every day. He wants to go on that date with you. He wants to take that walk with you. And if you're just like, nah, not today, he's going to be like, but I love you. Like, I love you so much. Why do you not want to hang out with me? Yeah. So I'm hoping, yes, through that, this podcast, it's more, we're just like self-reflecting on how important that relationship is with him.
Every time I go to spiritual direction, that's the conversation. It's like, like, Father, I haven't been praying as much as I would like, and as much as I know I need to. And he's like, well, why? I'm like, I got stuff going on. That's that's why, you know? And, you know, like, I got meetings typically every day and like trying to refresh and catch up on emails in between all that stuff. And then like the day gets away from you and then end up going to bed too late and like all these things. And then I can't get up in the morning, and then the day's off and running. It's like this vicious cycle starts. Mm-hmm. And I pray. Like, there's not a day that goes by that I don't pray, but maybe not as much as I ought. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, well, you need to recommit to the relationship. You need to make this more of a priority, even than like the ministry, like even more than the ministry. Because if I'm weak in faith, if I don't know the Lord, I can't give what I don't have. And I hope that people who come to me are looking for the Lord. So, non dot quad non habet, as they say in Latin.
As they say.
You can't give what you don't got.
All I heard was hobbit.
That's what I was like, why are we talking about hobbits?
So that's where, like, I am constantly being challenged in that way. And yeah, I know I'm not perfect, but there's huge opportunity.
It's constant working on ourselves.
And that's in the, especially I need a spiritual director for other things as well. But like, I have to go before him and tell him as I honestly am. And therefore I can't lie to myself, because I think we are masters of our own self-deception and thinking that maybe we're better off than we are. Right. It's like, no, here's the things that are actually happening in my life. And maybe you need somebody else to be able to point out, like, maybe here's a place that you could spend more time, or this needs to be taken away. So yeah, that's what even like a small group like you're meeting with is so helpful for. Mm-hmm. To call each other higher.
Yeah. And I would say like excuses are one of the top things that always get our priorities out of whack. Like, we're like, oh, it's okay that I skip praying this morning because I'm running 5 minutes behind and I want to curl my hair or something. Or it's okay, because we're always like, it's okay. And he's like, he's still sitting there waiting for you. He's like, is it okay? How are you feeling right now? How are you going to feel at the end of your day?
Yeah.
And I think as we talk about like what it means to prioritize Christ in our lives, I think if it's a foreign concept, it might sound like, well, you just need to pray more, or you just need to like sure. do more mass or do more. And it's really like, oftentimes I think if you are leading a life of faith, the high call isn't to do more, but it's to rightly order that which you are doing. And I remember this hitting me, like, there was a period in college where I had been going to daily mass, and then I had a noon class, and so I couldn't go to the noon mass anymore, and I wasn't able to be there for the 8:30 or whatever because I had another class or something. And it was like decision time. It was like, okay, you've been like having this practice of daily mass. Are you going to uphold that? And so it just came down to like on Monday, Wednesday, Fridays or whatever, I wasn't going to be able to, like if I had plans with friends in the evening, I was going to have to tell them I could only come at whatever the time was in the evening after I had gone to the 5:30 mass at Sacred Heart downtown. And it's like, that's not, I wasn't doing more in that situation. But it's just reordering the things that are good in my life, the good things that like the Lord has blessed me with, to be able to like make him what is priority. Like I will not go through my day without mass. That's, he's the priority there. Mm-hmm. And so I think, yeah, it's sort of like looking at your life as all these different pieces and just fitting them in together in a way that like he is the lens through which we see all these other aspects of our life, rather than just like top of the list or kind of the biggest bubble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's a lot of self-analysis and mm-hmm. self-reflection, which I don't think we award ourselves too often. So
yes, I think we need, for a lack of a better word, like a lot of more self-care, knowing that like our spiritual life is important. Mm-hmm. And just, yeah, remembering that, because when we go through like joyful moments, we always want to give praise and thanks and like, this happened, thank you God, you know, for helping me get this job or something. Always be thankful and give gratitude. But then when you're also going through those hard times and those hardships, mm-hmm. if you haven't been talking to him or attending mass, at least on Sundays, you're going to miss that connection of when you really need it, that relationship you really need it. It's
yeah.
when you need it most. And so, yeah, I just think when people are going, like they're stressed and they're anxious and I feel like everything's falling apart, I feel like a lot of these days people are turning to like Netflix. I'm just going to sit and watch TV for a couple of hours, or mm-hmm. they're turning to alcohol or to take away the pain. Like this, I just need one beer. It'll feel so much better. Or you turn to cookies because they make you feel better all the time.
I am triggered.
I was like, I've done all these things. She's calling me out. I've done all these things. And it just takes on our part to be like self-aware that, okay, maybe I don't need to take that drink or I don't need to eat that cookie. What I really need to do is just go take a walk and think about what's happening and mm-hmm. like just talk to Jesus about it or listen to a podcast, whatever, just slow steps to get you there, just to kind of balance yourself out.
Yeah. And I think, I think a lot of people measure their relationship with God in the highs and the lows. Like, I know I can always go to God when, you know, things are bad, or people say, I always try to give thanks when things are good, but it's in the humdrum that fidelity is shown. You know, like Mother Teresa says, God doesn't ask you to be successful. He asks you to be faithful, and fidelity is shown in the day in and day out, showing up and praying. You know, like if you didn't talk to your spouse each day, you'd have a pretty crummy relationship. Or if you only talk to your spouse for 5 minutes, it might get you through for a few weeks. But it's you're going to be a shadow of a relationship in a month's time, you know, mm-hmm. because so much happens. And it's the same thing with the Lord. Like, it's a relationship with a person, you know, and the Lord asks us to be faithful to it. So maybe, you know, you said it, Alyssa, it doesn't just mean pray more. I'm not measuring it as far as time goes, but like, what's quality for you? And shame on us if you don't know how to pray well, you know, like that's I would hope that your parish would teach you or would have taught you that. But I hope that people encounter the living God each day, because that's super important.
I think we forget, though, that he wants to encounter us. Like, it's so much easier to respond to someone who is actively engaging you. And it's like, he's always engaging us. Like, he's always trying to give us something. But we forget, like, the mm-hmm. human inclination is to forget the goodness of the Lord. So we ignore it. I do. I'm talking about myself.
We just flick that little cricket right
That's
off.
That's right, yeah. Yeah.
The other really difficult thing with excuses, it's just, like, hilarious. Again, like, masters of self-deception, is that there's a reason you do everything that you do. So, you know, like, it's not like there's not a reason. But the question is evaluating, like, what's the most important thing, you know? Because I could say, like, hey, you know, maybe you spend too much time watching television. And maybe that actually is less evident what the excuse is, you know, because if you watch television and ignore the people in your life, then that's probably problematic. But, like, in the case of young parents who are touting their kids all their sports games and things like that, and, like, constantly on the move because you think your kid's going to be, I don't know, God forbid people actually think that their kid's going to be a professional sports player. Like, it's just, it's so hard. But, like, that's a priority that you really need to evaluate, because you send a very clear message to your children that it's a huge priority that we play sports. Mm-hmm. Especially if all you do is 1 hour on Sunday of, like, going to mass and maybe aren't praying with them each night or something like that. A message is communicated and that gets ingrained. So there's a reason you do it. It's like, well, we want our kids to be happy. Of course they like sports. And then you're also working for this conditional thing in the future. It's like, well, we want them to get a college scholarship. Father Martin has this line that so many family relationships have been sacrificed on the altar of the scholar athlete. Hmm. Like, family relationships have been sacrificed on the altar of scholar athletes. That there's always this ambition that your children's going to be bright, and that, which, please God, your children is bright, your child is bright. But then that your child's going to get this scholarship, and you're always working for this future thing rather than being present in the moment. And it's tough because you have a reason why you're doing it, but is that reason just an excuse or is it legitimate? And I think you can only truly evaluate that in the light of what the Lord is calling you to, if you're listening to his voice, if you're sensitive to your own conscience. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. I don't mean to target. Going into my 7th or 8th grade, I think I played like 120 games of baseball in one summer. Well, spring league and fall league, but like 120 games. I was like a 12. Mm-hmm. And I loved it.
Yeah.
Like, I really loved it. But then I got burnt out with baseball and didn't continue playing. But it also sent a message, you know, like, this is... Mm-hmm. And thanks be to God, we still went to mass whenever I was traveling with sports and stuff like that. But sports was definitely number one in my book for a very, very long time.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the same for me too. As Father was speaking, I was just like reliving all these memories in my head, trying not to go down certain roads so that I don't start crying. But no, it's true. But it's so difficult to consider that when most families, like, the orientation between sports and my child, like, they're not the families that you see on TV where, like, the dad doesn't love the child and he's just, like, drilling him in all these things to be a better athlete. It's like, no, you take delight in your child when they play, especially if they're good, which is, like, a really beautiful gift to have as a family, like, to be athletic and sharing these things together. But to have it is a delicate thing. Like, when so much precedence is given to that, especially from a child, like, to a child from a young age, that is sort of, you're the athlete. That's what their identity becomes. And so, like, it's a hard thing for a child to grow up and then divorce themselves from that or attempt to, because now they're not just like being burnt out from baseball, but they're disappointing mom and dad. Which is a heartbreaking thing to do and to work through. It's so much more than just like go to mass on Sunday. The things that you lead your family in, and that I lead my friends in, and all these communities that we have, we're communicating something by the way that we spend our time. Even if we're not saying those words.
Yeah. And also to put sports, if this is the case, like in the appropriate category, like this is a training, not just of your body, but that you would learn how to be a servant leader too. I think that's huge. Like if you're any good, like you're going to help the other kids on your team, you're also going to lead them to be better individuals on and off the court, off the pitch, whatever it is. These are things that we don't necessarily want to give up, but again, like reprioritize, like is the priority of sports just to be good at sports, or does it serve some greater good, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's like the Tim Tebow sort of thing, but even still, there's an opportunity there for all of us. I remember in high school, I was really good normally about going to youth group in high school. And then my senior year, I lost sense of what the heck I was doing, and I missed a lot of youth group, and I knew my youth minister knew that I didn't have a good excuse, but I just kind of buried my head. And a big part of that was sports and like exercising and the worship of my own self, but it's like I had shut off my conscience too big time, and I knew it was bad news and that I shouldn't have been doing it. So I missed retreats. I was disappointed by that too, like inwardly, like I knew I was missing out on something. But I didn't yet have the courage to kind of face myself. And I think to reprioritize is a courageous act, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think as we're talking and as a parent, it's not really like you have to do this or you have to do this. We have to find a way to do both.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can still attend sports, but you have to make sure like your child also is getting some other faith in their life, minus just going to church on Sunday. Or while you're your kids are in sports, they're getting to know a lot of people you don't know. Yep. And if they have like a youth group or something, you could say, hey, I'm going to go to youth group on Thursday or Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Do you guys want to come with me? This is your child's opportunity to share their faith with others and open that door to others. Yep. Just like you have a lot of games on the weekend. So instead of like rushing around, maybe grab some teammates and say, hey, we're going to go to mass tonight. You guys want to go to mass before the game? Or, hey, we're at the St. Clair gym playing volleyball and mass is at 5:00 right afterwards. Right. Let's all go over and then mm-hmm. go out for pizza afterwards or something. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely not, you know, have to get our priorities straight, but we can also build faith into like pretty much everything you do.
Right.
Like carrying Jesus with you as you go.
And that's how it should be. I tell the teens that all the time. I say, listen, you all come here and I love it. And this place is family and we're a community of faith. But like, this is not the main reason you exist. Jesus doesn't just make youth group cool. Like Jesus is meant to infiltrate and empower and brighten and literally take a highlighter to every other aspect of your life. Like he's not just some guy you hang out with on Wednesday nights, like with this small community of people. He's the way that he loves you and you love him in return, like brightens every other aspect of your life. Mm-hmm. And so take that out into the world, you know,
mm-hmm.
easier said than done, but
yeah, exactly. It's always easier to say.
In the Sermon on the Mount, there's, it's right after the, I can't remember the dependence on God, the Father. It's Matthew 6, but when Jesus says, I tell you, like, do not be anxious about the things of this world. Like, today's anxieties are enough for today. And then he goes on to say, seek ye first the kingdom of God.
Everything else will be given you besides.
Everything else will be given you besides. And I think that's a huge, like, trust thing. Like, do you believe that the Lord's going to give you everything that you desire? Like, not just material things, because that's the superficial nonsense, like real things. But like, do you believe he's going to give you the joy that you seek, the peace that you desire, the love that you yearn for, if you seek him first? First, prior, like, before other things. And then you have a great example of that when the rich young man, and this is a huge part of my own conversion story, when the rich young man comes to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus says, "Of course, follow the commandments. You know, he says, I've kept all of these. What still do I lack?" And Jesus says, "If you want to inherit eternal life, go sell what you have and come follow me." And he becomes sad because he had many possessions, and then doesn't follow Jesus. And I think I've said this on the podcast before. I prayed with that so much when I was in high school, and like, I never wanted to be the one to make Jesus sad. Like, I didn't want to sadden his heart and walk away to do my own thing. And when we talk about priorities, that's the thing. Like, good teacher, what do I still lack? And he might ask you to renounce something so that something else better can happen. So it's like, the Lord has a plan for you. And do you believe he's going to give you everything else besides if you put your trust in him? So that's a huge component of this. Because most people see just the sacrifice without the gain, you know. I remember when I was leaving for Rome, I was so terrified. Like, I just, it was all lost at that point. Like, I'm leaving the school that I love, I'm leaving my friends, I'm leaving my family, and like, the only gain was that I was going to Europe. But at that time I was like, I have to make new friends, I have to do this and this and this. And like, I didn't yet see on the horizon on the other side what the Lord had planned for me. And I just had to like really trust 100-fold, like, you promised 100-fold joy in this life and more in the life to come. You better uphold your promise. And I think really to put it to the Lord that way, that was helpful for me at least.
This just warms my heart. Love sharing this with people. Just like putting him first and like just putting your trust in him.
One of the things that I had initially written down when Shana sent us this outline was something that, similar to what Father had just said about renouncing things, but the reorientation of our priorities, like the season of my life where I thought about this happening really, like in the thick of it, I guess, was certainly college after my reversion. And the first thing that came to mind reading through this outline was that this is not like a one and done thing. Like, it's not like, I'm just going to make a new schedule and then do it. Like, no, you're human, so you're actually probably not going to do it because you do the things that you hate, says St. Paul. So it's, yeah, the like confession will accompany reorienting priorities, which is like, it might sound like a scary thing, but it's actually really beautiful. Like, I'm not saying like I need to go confess because I'm a bad person and I'm doing all these bad things. Like, no, it's just, Jesus, again I ignored you, like, again I didn't put you first. And he's not abhorred by that. He's like 0% surprised.
He's like, come in for the hug.
Yeah
I do love that. When you haven't been to confession in a while, you're like, I just need to go, I just need that, like, that new, that fresh beginning. And I feel like when you walk out of the confessional, you're like, okay, walk with me as I try to reset everything. And like Alyssa said, you're going to fall and it's okay. You're going to wipe it off, get back up, start marching again. But yeah. Does anybody else have anything beautiful to say?
I think the identifying why you do the things that you do is super important. So even like that, whoever that person was that told you that in confession, I've been selfish with my own time. In some ways, that's the reason behind another sin. You know, like they would have said, I probably watched too much TV. And then the reason why behind it, the deeper thing, the actual wound and not just the deeper disease and not just the symptom of it, is that I am prideful in the use of my own time. I'm very covetous of my own time. So again, like a reflection is, why do I do the things that I do? Like, why do I say certain things around certain people? Like, well, there's a certain vanity about that. I want to be noticed. I want to have a good reputation. Or am I being selfish with my own time? Am I being selfish with my money? Am I even thinking about how I use money? You know, if I have the means, you know, do I live simply, or do I always want to have the next thing? And just like you see the stirring of somebody's heart and the reasons why. Mm. But a lot of confessions that I hear don't yet go to that deeper level. And that's where conversions will start to happen. That's where your life actually will begin to change. If you can identify those deeper things that are happening, identify the disease beneath the symptom, because the things that you typically would identify and would read in an examination of conscience are just more surface. There's something deeper beneath it, right? Mm. That's why it was so cool when you all did that walking with purpose the very first time, and you all got lit because you're talking about what your my root sin is, like, and I'm like, are you serious? Like, that's super helpful information, but I guess people don't think about it that way. It's like,
oh yeah,
I need to guard against vanity because I'm always constantly worried what people are thinking about me, mm-hmm. or what people will think about me, you know,
every day.
Yeah,
I still love talking to people about their root sins. I had a friend the other day who was like, I really don't care what people think about, you know, me. And I'm like, that's because your root sin's not vanity. Now I, on the other hand, have a hard time.
Sure.
I, like, always want to please. And she's mm-hmm. like, well, that gives me some relief. Now I know that there's nothing wrong with me. I'm like, that's just not.
That's not true.
There's something, meaning like, she's not a bad person because doesn't care what people think.
I see.
I said, yours is probably vanity, or I'm just kidding. No, I did say that. We're still friends.
Good. Yeah. I bring this up so often, so people listening have probably heard me say this, but one line from Priestly Ordinations that always sticks out to me is the prayer, may they understand what they do. And it like comes up again and again and again. And even just listening to Father speak, and yeah, like self-knowledge leads towards sanctity. Like, we have to understand ourselves, and even Christ crucified, like the words that he spoke on the cross, Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Mm-hmm. At like the hour of his death, he's in pain because we can't understand why it is we do the things that we do. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's something to sit with, like to reflect on, and me too, obviously, but yeah.
This is like what it ultimately comes to is self-reflection. Is that the other day I anointed a man on his deathbed and he's conscious, which I don't get the opportunity to do a lot. People kind of call me too late and I can't interact with the person, but like he says, like, Father, I always wanted to serve the Lord. I always tried to serve the Lord. And I think he was really earnest. He's a good man. He's a good Christian, good man. And, I didn't doubt him in that moment. Like, it was just so beautiful. Like, even at his deathbed, that's what he says. Like, I always wanted to serve the Lord and I wanted to be a good dad to my children. I'm like, dang, like, that's awesome. You know? And I hope we can all say that, but the proof is in the pudding. There's no judgment I'm saying about him, but even for my own life, like, I know I deserve to serve the Lord. Like, that is I think that's my fundamental desire, yeah. But the proof's in the pudding, you know? Like, I know that there's parts of my heart that still don't serve the Lord, that serve myself. And as I think about my own death one day, like, am I comfortable dying knowing that I've served the Lord and didn't put false gods before him, you know? Not out of fear, you know, but, like, I just want to know that the Lord knows I love him, you mm-hmm. know?
Can I end with this line from St. Therese?
Okay. Yeah.
It follows what... I have to find it first. Hold on. Okay, so this is from the book I Believe in Love, and it's what I've been reading recently, and I come back to it often, but when Shana sent this out, there's a lot of things clicking, but I just wanted to end with this line because I think it sums up the things we've been discussing. But it says, in the hour of our agony, in the hour of that truth, when at the moment of our appearance before God, we perhaps review in our memory our whole life with so many miseries and weaknesses, so many failings and falls. I hope that with contrite hearts but immense confidence, we shall say to Jesus, all this I give you. Did you not come to earth to seek out my sins and take them upon yourself? In exchange, give me the price of your blood, the treasures of your redemption, all your merits, they are mine. And then this is the line from St. Therese. It says, it is in this spirit that little St. Therese said, in the evening of this life, I shall appear before you with empty hands. It is just this, to find myself at death with empty hands, that gives me joy. For having nothing, I shall have received everything from God.
I love that. I've heard a different version of that, and I never realized that it probably came from her.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite things.
Beautiful.
I used everything you gave me, Lord.
I don't know how that relates to priorities, but somehow we're here.
We got it here.
We got it here.
It was beautiful. So friends, check yourself.
Sage wisdom.
I've been checked.
Checked.
Yeah, it was great journeying with you today. And we will see you next week. Bye.